Welcome to today's episode of Profitable Word by Reverend Francis W. Albing, Lead Pastor, The Keeper's House Chapel International. And now to today's word.
Last week we started a series on executives. We did part one and two. And today we're going to do executives part three. Point was made that between there will be opportunities and there will be challenges in life. If you look at the story of Joseph in Egypt, a typology of the earth, Joseph, a typology of the Christian who is in transition on the earth, a child of God who is an Israeli or Israelite, and then he finds himself in Egypt and he has to rule and reign in Egypt. Are you with me? A child of God, we belong to the kingdom of God. Bible says that though we are in this world, we are not of this world. We belong to the kingdom of God, the kingdom in heaven. But we have been given the mandate to rule and to dominate here on earth. If that is going to happen, we have to understand the dream of Pharaoh and the interpretation thereof. Seven fat cows, seven lean cows. These are seven first years of abundance and then seven second years of drought and famine. And then the scripture said the drought will be so severe that the gains of the 7 years of abundance will be eroded because of the drought. So we learned that for a child of God here on earth, you will have opportunities and you will have challenges, possibilities and challenges as well. The difference between possibilities and challenges, especially where the challenges have the severity to erode the gains of the possibility, is vision and strategy. We learned that we need to bring our best set of management on the opportunities that we are given. 24-hour every day is an opportunity that has been given to us, and we have to manage it well. The life that you have, you need to manage it well. Praise the Lord. So when you go into crisis, you still have an opportunity to focus on the crisis to destroy you, or focus on the opportunities you have with whatever is left in your life to build on it. You know, when the prophet came to the house, he asked the woman, the widow, what do you have in your house? God asked Moses, what do you have in your hand? All the time, Jesus asked the disciples, he said, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. It doesn't matter how big the challenges may be, there is always something in your hands that if you have the requisite managerial skills and vision and strategy, the grace of God can use that as a seed to be able to get you out of whatever trouble you find yourself in. Are you with me? All right, so in Genesis chapter 41, verse 41, we learn that, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Why? Because he's the one who came up to interpret the dreams and gave recommendations thereof. In chapter 42, verse 6, in Genesis 42, verse number 6, the scripture says, and Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Please take your seat. So in the scripture we see that Joseph, as a stranger in Egypt, he really became the governor of the land. Pharaoh said that only in my throne will I be greater than you, but you are the governor. When you say we should sleep, we will sleep. When you say we should rise, at your word we will run back and forth. And so it is possible for you and I to be in this position of rulership, of dominion in our family life, in our industry, in ministry, in every area God has permitted us to be, it is possible for you to be the governor there. But most important is the fact that you need to be the governor in your own life. Praise the Lord. And then the Bible said that though he was a stranger in Egypt, he attained to this level. Then also, the hatred of his brothers was not potent enough to stop him from becoming the governor of Egypt. We know that his brothers hated him so much that they could not speak a kind word to him. Are you with me? And yet, what God has said about him came to pass, that he was going to be a shining star who will rule beyond their country. When we start going through contestations, contentions, challenges, especially when it's coming from familiar people, sometimes we get so brokenhearted that why is it that Christian brother or Christian sister is doing this to me? My sibling is doing this to me. People that I thought would know better are doing ABC to me. But it's part of life. Can you tell somebody it's part of life? Challenges are part of life. Misrepresentation is part of life. You know, domestic contestations, they are part of life. Your family, they can oppose you. Your church family can oppose you. Your work family can oppose you. Opposition can be everywhere. But opposition is not the end of the road. It's mostly a stepping stone for God to manifest his perfect plan for your life. And most of the time, when men hatch a plan, it's actually God behind it to do what he wants to do. Praise the Lord. Do you realize that the bad dreams of Pharaoh, they were the platform that God set up to make Joseph rule in Egypt? So anytime there is a drought, anytime there is global austere economic condition or challenges anywhere, God is actually using that to set up his children into rulership. When there are challenges, you have to see the positivity in the challenge. You cannot be toxic with the toxicity around you. You have to get to that point where you know that it's working together for my good. Can you prophesy to somebody that I think God is talking to you this morning, that whatever is happening around you is working together for your good? And so you have to see God in it. Tell somebody, see God in it. And now in chapter 41 verse 33, we learned that Joseph, when he came to give interpretations to the dreams of Pharaoh, he also gave recommendations to Pharaoh. And in verse 33, he said, "Now therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt." Praise the Lord. "Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years." "And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And let that food, and that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine." Praise the Lord. "And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servant. And Pharaoh said unto his servant, 'Can we find such a man as this? A man in whom the spirit of the God is?' And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, 'For as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art.'" Praise the Lord. "So thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." Praise the Lord. So what is the requirement for being successful with the opportunities that come our way, even though there may be challenges around? Is it a good preaching? All right, so we've started a new year. We know that God has given us this year. It's supposed to be a great year. A great year of grace. A great year of success. A great year of wonderful things. And the Lord has told us how He's engineered the year to give us transgenerational blessings. What does it take for this to turn around? Number one, Joseph said, search for men of leadership capacity. He says, search out for men, look out for men. Verse 33, let Pharaoh look out for men. Look out for a man, discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. So, number one, if you are going to become successful in this year with opportunities God bring you, you need to become a man with some great leadership capacity. Praise the Lord. A man with great leadership capacity. Because he says, search for that man. That means that the emergence of such men is not automatic. That's why such a man should be searched for. What it takes for you to become a joy to yourself is not going to automatically come out of you. It has to be an intentional, deliberate practice or program that you have in adding value to yourself to build a certain capacity of leadership to be able to lead yourself effectively with the help of God. Are you with me? So people live their life to chance. That's why their lives have amounted to nothing. Because we are not intentional about us. We do not build capacity for ourselves. So we don't even seek for ourselves. And when you don't build value for yourself, you don't look out for you. Because your emptiness means that there is nothing coming into your life. It is when you invest into your life that you begin to see your worth. You begin to see the value of your life. And you begin to feel like when opportunity is given me, something great can come out. It's at that level that you begin to see yourself. It could be education. It could be associating with the right people for good counsel. Are you here with me at all? We just building your spiritual life, building every area of your life, using the resources of good counsel around you to get to the level God wants you to be. That man of leadership is a sought after man. Your destiny will not seek for you when you don't develop your leadership capacity. Are you with me? And I want you to listen to the second service last week because I dealt with being a man that is discreet. Being what? You should exercise discretion. If you don't exercise discretion, you're going to be a problem to you. So the first thing is you need to be a man who has developed some leadership capacity. Number two, you need to be a discreet person. A discreet person, for a moment, let me say that, is a man who is able to make the right decisions. It's also a man who is able to keep confidential information when God gives them an opportunity of exposure into something that ordinarily they don't belong to such a realm. Look at Joseph. He's not a citizen. He's from Israel. He's brought to Egypt. He's taken to prison. He's a prisoner who has been sent to the palace. Now he listens to palace conversations. He sees what's going on in the palace. And then he needs to apply discretion. Because the king's dreams were not announced to the whole populace. They were announced to a certain class of people that the Bible called wise men or the magicians of Pharaoh. And for him to be brought to that level as a prisoner, it was a privilege in the first place. He didn't belong there at all. So there are certain realms that, one, you don't qualify to be. At least not at this level. There are certain conversations that you are not qualified to be. If you are there and you are listening to them, it's by divine privilege. It's by divine favor. And one of the things that will help you to be able to sustain that blessed space is your ability to be discretionary. I think that the Bible says that he that is able to bridle his tongue, that same person is spiritual. And there are many of us that God will give opportunities to be in places, to be opportune to hear things that we are not supposed to hear, and to pitch around people who naturally are ahead of us, have gone ahead of us, and they open up their lives to us and they open up secrets to us, and unfortunately we are not able to keep them. Unfortunately. When you do that, you disturb the frequency of your own life. It's a sign that you are not faithful to God, you are not faithful to men, and you are not faithful to yourself. Because when you don't apply discretion, exposure would take you out of the game. So somebody, you see, people bringing you to the high place and showing you things, even if it has negative effect, it's just a very small risk. Are you here with me? Especially when they are showing you a secret to success. It's just a small risk. The biggest risk is with you if you are withdrawn from that space, because that space itself is a resource to you. Then the people there, then the capacities of the people who introduce you into that space also become, what do you call it, a resource to you. Are you with me at all? And when you are embraced into that social network with that exposure, you are likely to succeed. What makes people lose it is choppy, 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 choppy. Hey, me ko kaslo. Yeah, me ko jubilee. Meanwhile, the invitation that was given to you, it was a private invitation. If Jubilee House wanted to invite the whole Ghana, they would have sent all of us an invitation. So you get this invitation, and then what? You are all over the place. I was just telling the first service, second service people last week that it's not everyone you take a picture with that you should post on social media. Okay, oh. Let me keep quiet since I want you to go and listen to the second service. All right, number three, that man should be a man of wisdom. He said a man of discreet, a man who is discreet and wise. Say wise. I can't hear you. Say wise. Now, wisdom here is connected to Joseph's ability to proffer strategic plan for remedying the challenges that will come after the opportunities. Strategy. Say strategy. It's that wisdom to know that I cannot blow every chance I have, and what I have in my hand is to sustain my future against different stresses and economic shocks, against family pressure and whatever. It takes wisdom to build a house. The Bible says that by wisdom a house is what? Built. So every child of God must operate with this spirit called wisdom. And wisdom is needed, one, to manage the resources God gives you. You have been given something. Talents were given to people. 5, 2, 1. The man who lacked wisdom went and buried the talent he was given. Because without wisdom, you see every talent, you see every investment as small and not worthy of what you are expecting. That's why even though that one talent had capacity to make that man great, he really didn't see the value of that talent. And normally without wisdom, you think people are your problem. He told the man who gave him the talent that I know that you are a hard man. Without wisdom, you always think people are the reason for where you are. Without wisdom, there is always a human reason. There is always somebody who can be blamed for where you are. The man buried the talent and said, I will blame it on the boss. Because by my analysis, he's a hard man, he's a wicked man. You see, wisdom is what gives you a proper screening of analysis that will not paralyze your destiny. Everyone is seeing in a particular way that they ought not to see, but wisdom will clarify how you have to see, how you have to think, how you have to process what you are seeing, the interpretations you should give to it, the value of what is in your hand. The Bible said concerning when Jesus multiplied the bread and the fishes, when the disciples didn't know what to do, the Bible says that he asked them to give him the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fishes because he himself knew what to do. It is wisdom that gives you the capacity to know what to do. May you receive this wisdom in Jesus' name. It's a mental winning capacity. Mental winning capability that comes from your spirit as a child of God. It comes from your spirit. It comes from the Lord. It comes from where? It gives you strategy to lead your generation. It gives you strategy that clarifies for you how to move a small pot of oil into an oil making production house that will be able to pay all your bills and then sustain your family. You are where you are because of the level of your wisdom. Once your wisdom elevates, your life will escalate. Kashola palakataya. When your wisdom graduates, you cannot be repeated in destiny. When you see a man, their level is measured by the quality of the wisdom they walk in. Woman was crying around. Prophet said, borrow vessels. Go inside. You and your child. Do this, do that. That is, if the woman had that wisdom long time, she wouldn't be crying and sorrowing. The reason why you are crying and sorrowing is because you lack the wisdom. And let me say in passing that some people are not well here because they lack the wisdom to go to the hospital. And somebody, are you well? You lack the wisdom to stop eating at a certain time. God, I beg. You lack the wisdom not to send your nude pictures. You lack the wisdom. You lack the wisdom to know that parados. A woman must look fine for a man to come your direction. You lack the wisdom. Mumfam says any ametina catch with the enfant. Meanwhile, this year, no, God has told you that you will marry you. But I'm telling you, maybe the person that will marry you it doesn't have eyes. You don't smell well, you don't dress well. Baby, you got problems with solutions abundantly available. That's not wisdom. But one of the deficiencies of wisdom is the fact that it mismanages the resources God has given to you. So he says that the problem is not the 7 lean cows that are going to eat the abundance. Between the capacity of the demons to eat the blessings God is bringing you and the manifestation of the blessing to overcome that thing is called wisdom. A man of wisdom will be able to beat down satanic plots against what God has given them. Somebody want your marriage to collapse? God's wisdom is the key. It's what? I can't hear you. It's what? It's the key. Somebody wants you to lose your job and they are planning and plotting. What is the key? Wisdom. Wisdom to work. Give of your best. Add value to yourself. Don't go to work talking about people. You know, unnecessarily chit-chatting in corners. If you speak with them, they'll go and talk about you. Are you here with me at all? But those 7 years of abundance, Joseph said, they are okay. If the man managing it has wisdom, it will be okay. Tell somebody, it will be okay if you have wisdom. I can't hear you. It's like the message is offending some people. Can you tell somebody that whatever God is giving you this year will be okay for you and your generations unborn, if you have wisdom to manage it? And tell somebody that every one of us here can have increasing wisdom, because Jesus Christ is our wisdom. Praise the Lord. So we need wisdom. Don't live your life like somebody without wisdom. And wisdom here is necessary for strategies. What am I doing with what I have? The 24 hours I have. My age I have right now. What can I do? For instance, in making money, the time you start making money is so important. If you invest 100 Ghana when you are, let's say, 18 years old for 10 years, yeah? If you start at 18 for 10 years, by the time you are 28, you have a certain amount of money. Now, if you do it whilst you are 38, do you understand? And with wealth, the more time you give yourself, especially in your economically viable years, the better. Because sometimes you have financial resources, but you lack the market energy required for you to be aggressive. That is why you cannot eat everything you have now. And you have to start making the wealth. If you're a woman, you cannot say, I'm going to marry a man with a deep pocket. You cannot, to take care of, you cannot, you see, you cannot outsource your own prosperity and comfort to the life of somebody you know whether they will come or not. Meanwhile, God has given you and I opportunity that with or without them, we should be fine. Creating many channels. Are you here? You have a banking job. It's good. You wear suit and sit in air condition. But it's not paying you much. Get some saloon somewhere. They call it glam, right? Is it glam? Eshi glams. The saloon is bringing something. Get some. There's barbers there. Are you here at all? Get something is there. Get some shop somewhere. You're selling something from China, Togo, Nigeria, what? It doesn't matter. As long as it is legitimate and it has market, you are selling. So you are, and you see, you find out that you have to, by wisdom, compartmentalize which channel is giving me which revenue or income to deal with this expenditure in my life. So I know that I'm using the saloon to pay my rent, so I'm not touching my banking salary, and I'm using my togo to deal with ABCD. So by the time you know, in the garden there was a river that broke into four channels or streams. So don't say, hey, man, your bank, don't you see poor bankers? There's a way that an upward mobility of life makes you poor automatically. Okay, as you move from being a single person and you marry, whether you are male or female, you know, it just goes into whatever you have. When you have one child, it's an upward mobility in life. It brings its own expenditure. You have two kids, they bring their own expenditure. Are you here with me? Then it means that you need to get a help. Then it means that you need to increase the spaces you stay in. You move from that chamber and hall, and then you go 2-3 bedrooms. Have you seen that? It's going up. You're going to learn. It's an upward mobility. And sometimes all this can happen without an upward labor mobility. Like you are where you are. Save money for whatever. But in 5 years, your life has so changed. Especially concerning your expenditure, but your income is the same. You find out that now, well, before your salary will come, it's already gone. Put your hand on your head and say, God, give me wisdom.
I can't hear you at all. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Say, God, give me wisdom. Now, wow. You see, you just hear somebody gave me 10,000 Ghana. What a big testimony. When you give birth, when you marry, and your spouse is calling for vacation, what is 10,000? What is 10K? Please ask somebody, what is 10K? And tell somebody, stop celebrating nonsense.
God, I beg. Wisdom. What is it? Wisdom. The capacity to manage people around you. Manage relationships. Manage spaces. Daniel is there. Four different kings came, lived and died. He's still there. He works with NDC. NDC comes and goes. MPP comes, he works with them. They come and go. NDC comes again. They work with Daniel. They go after 8 years. The other party comes. They work with like he has perpetuity because he has wisdom. Why are you trying to be unprofessional with your job? Why? Like why? There's a way that wisdom makes you indispensable. Makes you attractive. Hello? Charlie, this is your third marriage, yo. And there's no demon worrying you. The real demon worrying you is called wisdomaniac. It's a legion of spirits that lack wisdom. That's your third marriage. And you are collapsing them because, oh, why are they be to me, boss? It comes upon you like a common woman. So, Bible says that by wisdom, a house is built. A career is built. A life is built by wisdom. Academics built. Recently, I was just, you know, I've taken my sleeping to another level. Sleeping to another level. So many people would die earlier than their time because they don't sleep. And I was just telling myself, wow, I woke up this dawn. My eyes were very clear. I was praying, I was reading. I said, Kai, if I was this wise long time ago, or more, there's no prize in any school that I wouldn't have collected. Because this one that you sit down 15 minutes, then you are sleeping. Because you have bent out yourself before even sitting down to learn. Don't know how to sleep. Sleeping at the right time, sleeping the right amount. So that you can be effective. You cannot raise excuses. Oh, there is nothing. You manage your time. Are you here with me at all? Manage it. All that time that you are on TikTok and it's not for business, it's for laughter. You can't sleep. I'm not saying something. It's your choice. Can you tell somebody it's your choice? It's just managing yourself. So by the time you know, you see that you have also partnered somebody whose business will soon pay. But it has started small. And you put your money inside. You have some 30% to be. But the person is the one in the market. It's going to become very big. Then you'll share day inside. But some people, they are very selfish. And it comes from foolishness. Peter encroached massive fishes. Bible says that his net was breaking. He called for the other smaller boats that, please come and help me carry it. What makes you think that a certain level of, you know, scaling in wealth, in business, can be handled by a sole proprietorship? Maybe I made mean to me, you'll be a niejma. Untiapo.
you see globally that big corporations and big companies are merging? Are you not seeing it? Spreading the risk and spreading the opportunities. You know, you are there now. Somebody comes and says, "Sister, send your upa my dear, no. Kai, upa my dear. I want to partner you. Abnana may can ask me. I want to invest into you so that you have a big production house, machines. Are you here with me? And then by the time you know, you look at the possibilities around the person. Maybe the person is operating in a certain class of people and has some market connected to the person. Say, hey, monkey know the work, make baboon they chop. And then you are there. Your 100% is still less than if you took 1% of that connection. Is that person is introducing in your life is going to be bigger than you remaining your 100%. Why don't you take that one? When you take that one for 10 years, you are wealthy. If they like, they can swallow the business, whatever. You are gone. Because it would have taken you eternity to get there. It's my idea. It's my idea. With a chop idea. With a chop. Ask somebody, with a chop. Why? Ask somebody, why? Why? Discretion. Wisdom. Let's do the other two. Are you here? Boy. Joseph said that man must have, actually Pharaoh and Joseph both said that man must have the spirit inside that person. Let me say that. The spirit of God must be inside that person. And this is in Genesis 41:38-39. 41:38, it says that. And Pharaoh said unto his servant, "Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the spirit of God is?" And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "For as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art." That simply means that the difference between the wise men of Egypt, the magicians of Egypt, and Joseph was the spirit he carried. The same spirit is what he entered into Potiphar's house with. If you're a child of God, let me say that your success has to be engineered from your spiritual place. You are beautiful and your husband loves you, but that love, the consolidation of that love is in your spirituality. If you don't evolve spiritually, you get to a certain level, you will find out that you have gone out of favor because you lack the projection of spirit in your chopping love processes. The food is not sweet again, not because your cooking skills have changed, but the spirit must make it sweeter. Because the spirit is working for you. When you pot belly, now you know that also up a one pack on person's packs. You're becoming a living legend, but your wife likes you like that with your one pack. When six pack people are chasing her everywhere, say no. I love my what? One pack. One pack all the way. Spirit is inside you. Being a Christian in Egypt, you cannot negotiate not having the spirit. The world must not swallow you. Systems must not swallow you. People must not swallow you. Please remember that the dream Pharaoh had was spiritual. The dream. the thing that is going to make you succeed, you Joseph in Egypt, you this child of God here on earth, first of all, it's a spiritual dream. It's a spiritual vision. And you need the spirit to rise up to that level. The desire you have is spiritual. It's not a projection of your mind. It's what? I can't hear you. It's what? And because of the spirit is the one putting those desires into you, you need to rise. That's why people who don't know the Lord, they go to consult other things. To go to the market, to do their corporate life, to do their academics. Are you with me? So if you're a child of God, you cannot be flat. Because you need ideas that are coming from your spiritual place. And the closer you are in communion with the Lord, the better for you. Because remember that you are not the only person who is in the space. Magicians of Egypt are there. The wise men of Egypt are there. Occult people are there. And that appointment was not something that everyone was happy about. And yet, even Joseph's own household people, they didn't like him. The people that you are going to prosper and you are going to give them some, not all of them like you. And if you are not spiritual and careful, your generosity will mean your burial. There's a way that you give help and that help means you are gone. Because you are not what? The man that, you see, he used the word, the man should have the spirit of the gods. And here, because Joseph was not an Egyptian, the spirit he had was not the same spirit as the spirit that was in Egypt. I'm speaking in general terms. If you don't become a spiritual person, it doesn't matter whether you are Pharaoh or whatever. Somebody will use a strange spirit you don't know to rule you and to rule your land. Oh, that's why I'm a Christian. Some of you, the people ruling in your workplace, they are occult people manipulating. You are sitting. Pharaoh said, I'm sorry. He's not using the spirit of Egypt to do that. He's using the spirit of the God of Israel. The same way somebody can use the spirit of the God of Antua, Patanji, some Rifabi. You are the CEO, but he's manipulating you. May you receive the spirit of the Lord here. That amen didn't come out at all. Sometimes people die death that God has not registered in the register. Because you decided to rise without the commensurate spirit for your sustenance. Bible says that he that has not lifted his hands unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, but that person has gone up there. He's risen, Psalm 24. He's risen up there and he is standing. He's what? Standing. I can't hear you. He's what?
Standing.
Now, so there were things the faith of Joseph gave him to do by way of practicing his faith that gave him advantage over the Egyptians. If you're a Christian, you should carry your God into your business. Carry your God into your spaces. In your family. Carry your God there. That's the differential. And you must keep growing. I can pray for you as your pastor, but there's a level that you should stand before God yourself. You should what? Stand before God. If at this level you cannot stand before God yourself, why are you? Are you? Are you? Jesus, so Pastor Francis and also Bombay, covering the Juma umbrella, no boat, twelve, you won't send me beer. You are putting your faith on an umbrella. When permanent shelters are there, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and they are safe. You are banking your hope on a prayer that Pastor Francis says he's going to pray for you so that all will be well. Umbrella is a temporary measure. Nobody lives under an umbrella. Permanent structures are there for your permanent shelter against the storm. Is God talking to somebody now? What are some of the things that you would do as a measure of pumping spirit into you? You have to be, just imagine Joseph in Egypt. He was practicing his covenant. He was what? Even in Egypt, it doesn't matter. No land is strange enough when you have God. Can be in America without God, you suffer, you suffer. Somebody can be doing well in Buko, Achebere, Atta. It doesn't matter. The location doesn't always matter. What you carry, what you what? I can't hear. You need to wake up with me. What you carry? Ask somebody, what do you carry? Are you carrying God? Are you on a covenant with God? Are you moving based on your covenant? The difference is in who you serve and how you serve who you serve. Some people are serving God, but they are serving Him anyhow. No covenant, no plan, no formula, no faithfulness. No, you see, when you have resources and you are suffering from what the resources are meant to do in your life, it's a confirmation of your weakness. Foolishness, that water is there and thirst killed you. Look at how God is ready to help us, and He's with us even to the ends of the world. Why? Because we never planned walking with Him in covenant. But this year you walk with Him in covenant. One of the things you do is that this year you want to build with Jesus. Every day with Jesus. Every day with grace. Say it with me. Say, every day with Jesus. It's every day with grace. You also want to build for Jesus. Say, every day with Jesus. Every day with grace. Yeah, Jesus. Your life should be built on Jesus. And built for Jesus. That means that Jesus, who is your Lord and Savior. Lord first and Savior. If you joke, He will be your Lord, but He has also elected Himself to be your Savior. He said, I am the same blood that took away your sins, also took your infirmity. That is, He did not only save you from sin, He also made, He said, I am the Lord that healed thee. He's elected Himself to be your physician forever. But if you are not careful, He will deliver you from sin and you will never get the physician assistance. Because you are not a draw over. He says, walk in faith. You say, no. I have Jesus. I won't walk in faith. Listen to the word. He said, I won't listen to the word. I have Jesus. That's why you are a bogus Christian. Speak the word. Yeah, I won't speak the word. Instead of speaking the word, let the weak say, I am strong. You always say, me hire me here. Every time me hire me here, you know, we have to be real. We have to be, you know, we are humans. Have we said you are an elephant? But this is how this Christian entity operates to get the best out of working with the Lord. And acting on the word. Jesus will heal somebody and He says that, I have healed you. But the way to see the healing is arise up and walk. So what Jesus does, there is a way that we see the manifestation when we act on His word. And He says also, waka, waka, waka. So say this year, no. What are you saying? If you don't act, December will come, prepare. You would think that the word of God lied. But you need to act. You need to what? Act on the word. Sometimes He's telling you, go this way, go that way. You'll be walking, Bible say you hear a voice behind you directing you. Yeah, I see a dear way. I won't say, spirit in the catch, say, come on, come on, shut up. Brother, shut up. We are my wife. Oh, the dinner time, I'm in pen question. I see a bar question. Hey, brother. About your problem, I'm out at you. God. Do you, the Holy Ghost will be telling you, keep quiet. Tell somebody, walking with Jesus, walking with Jesus. Tell somebody, this year, perfect your walk with Jesus. Now, when you want to elevate it to your the practices or the actions of your faith, one of the things you would do to appropriate or maximize the opportunities that comes to you as a child of God is that do not play with your first fruit. Do you know what? I can't hear you at all. Yeah. Do not play with your first fruit. You look at Proverbs chapter 3 verse 9. It says what? Honor the Lord with your substance. If you're a Christian and you lack the spiritual intelligence to walk in covenant, you can be carrying a status that will make you resemble something that you will never assemble. That's why you will resemble a rich person, but your pocket will always be empty. Because God is a covenant-keeping God. He's not looking at your face, who your mother is, where you come from. Your disadvantage cannot take you out of any race. It's what you do with your faith in Christ. So, it's not like the Jesus in me is more powerful than the one in James or no. It's what, how far are you willing to go with the Lord? He told them, he said, whatsoever he tells you do, John 2:5, do it. And you will see the manifestation. Everybody will have opportunity to work with the Lord. And to build for Jesus. So, in Proverbs 3:9, it says that when you are beginning the year, and you see that the greatness of people is in their secret practices. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance. One way to maintain or activate your covenant walk with the Lord is by substance. Is by what? Is by substance. And you will find out, and with the first fruit of all thine increase. Now, this issue of first fruit is an issue of honor. It's not by force that every beginning of the year you say that, oh, the first salary I have, I'm giving to God. I'm not paying tithe, but I'm rather giving him salary. It's not by force. But if you have revelation, you will know that it's a very powerful thing to do. Jesus is the first begotten of the Father. In fact, Romans says that he is the first fruit. And he says that the first fruit is offered so that the rest will be sanctified. So, people who have revelation, it is like the issue of tithe. Do I really need to pay tithe? Some say pay, some say don't pay. It depends on the kind of relationship and revelation you have with the Lord. But here, despite us, oh, media me kwa sorry no mu preach ya mijidien nyina ko jina in tight and so. And one of the media me ni mo ko tena mo kan. So ochina na beba me ni say ni po say dio, media tight na. To bingo say tight na. I mean nowhere. Are you here with me? When you read Deuteronomy chapter 26, it talks about the first fruit. It talks about the historical antecedent to the first fruit. It says that, I took you out of Egypt and gave you a land you didn't work for. Now, that land, there were idols there. They were walking and working on the land. They practiced very bad things there. I have collected 7 nations and I've given them to you. The land was polluted before you got there, but I have sanctified the land. Now, when you get into the land I gave you, like the year that the Lord has given you, he says that whatever you plant there, the very first one you harvest, bring it to me. As you bring it to me, I am establishing a covenant with you that the powers you met there will no longer control the milk and honey that I have promised you. You will see milk and honey on the land because you are in a covenant relationship with me. You know, last week I told you that God does not need the first fruit. You are the one who needs the rest. So there are some people, that's why he told them, he says that there are some who make so much just to put it in pocket full of holes. As we are talking right now, some people who don't know the Lord, who are in the market, they have already sent their first fruit offering to the shrine. Quick! In all industries, I will say, hey, because he knows where he's coming from. And it is not a negotiation in the office. You, your tithe, you can discuss. Do you think we should pay tithe or we should not pay tithe? And then it's a discussion at the office. Tell somebody how to be serious. So, eh? Do the A. First fruit on ground. Some of the monies that I've received, I don't know why people used to give me big, big, big money in January. Recently somebody who promised me some nice thing, somehow he didn't do it. January now, one mommy precious, nan kame bonu ta 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 kra kra de. But God loves a cheerful giver. Praise the Lord. The first, you honor the Lord with it. He says that I will make your barns overflow. Not everybody should understand it. I've taken you through test upon test upon test concerning the first fruit. But you have to be determined. When it comes to covenant, you have to be determined that I'm going to do it and I'm going to protect my sacrifice like Abraham. And the way you know that God will test you with what he gives you is when you look at his pattern in scripture. He gave them the garden. He gave them everything in the garden. And he said, "Don't this small fruit in the middle. This is the test of your faithfulness." God has no problem giving you the whole world. But you have to prove to God that your heart is for him. And that nothing is too big in your hands to sacrifice to God. They say you can eat everything in the garden. No, eat. In fact, you can even swallow the garden. But this one is for God. This one, don't touch it. There are some, if you are going to go very far as a child of God, you have to know that there are some things that are untouchables for God. You can't touch them. Whether you are a pope, you are a cardinal. I keep telling you that you won't prosper because you are a pastor. You have to think that I'm a child of God to prosper. Because the pastoral position is a privileged position. But you are a child of God. You have to operate as one. I have to honor God the same way you honor God. And when I come to that office, I even have to scale it up. Hello? So if I begin to think that, like some pastors, they think that they are collection offices. Like, you have to sow into my life. You know, I was talking to somebody, say, if you don't sow into my, I prayed for you, you made it, I prayed, and then you are offended. Brother, nobody owes you anything. No. Nobody owes you anything. If you don't walk with God, for God to show you favor, you will think people are your problem. That's why you see us. We bring our first fruit to the Lord, and I am happy to do so. And when I'm doing this thing, I do it separate from my wife. I said, my wife, first fruit, dear, we are not doing it together. Yes, because I want you to one day buy a car that has not been made for me. It is possible, yeah? It will happen in Jesus' name. Why? Because before we married, God had a plan for her life, had a plan for me. Some men think that without them, their wives will not... You have to be God, though. No, yeah, except the person is not working with God on their own covenant. Are you here with me at all? Then shall your barns be open. Overflow. So this January to February, you say, God, Charlie, I didn't add thing, but that's why I'm moving by faith. I'm moving by what? Then this year you don't want to play with your tithing. Forget about devourer and everything. In that Malachi 3:10, he says that test me and I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out. And one on a full stop. Pour you out. Question I want to ask is that, is a portion of the substance God has given you, either through your work, through people he brings your way and all of that, have you committed a portion to his divine hands? Hands that are able to give you supply beyond your needs. Say, my grace is sufficient to you and for you. So some people, all they have is what is in their hand. No connection with the Lord. That's why I'm very glad that I'm not even doing 10% of tithing again. Just said, I took Evans to my house in Cape Coast and Elmina. We went to my Elmina corner. I asked him, I said, look at their faces. Do you need discernment? That's why David was crazy about God, though. Because, Charlie, where he was coming from? No? some of us in church, when we say something, cry, that is local cry, you don't know what it is. Because of who gave birth to you and where you grew up. But those of us who came from, where we came from. Recently, I went to Canada. I saw one of my friends. I used to perch in their house when I was going to secondary school. The parents used to live in Canada. I was wearing those days they used to call it combat. And all of this. So, ni nyo manu mene ne shade pepe epe o. Inti yo no confant pe me wane nimba kwenye me call gastus me a day. He's pastoring in Canada. Recently, I went there. So I said, Charlie, brother, let's sit down. I want to thank you. And can you? Now, God has brought us this far. Then you are dealing with God and say, my money. Which one? Which one? Baby, I'll free home. We're free. David was dancing. Michael said, why? He said, sister, where they born you and where they born me? And all they say, you're a palace girl, I'm a bush boy. Leave me alone. You carry your palace life, stand in your high window, and you know the window you're operating from determines your perspective. And sometimes when you are in a very high place and you have been there for a very long time, you lose the God element in your life. That's why those of us, we are very active with the ark. Every 6 feet, we are sacrificed on ground. Because we know that the power of the church, especially the end time church, is in its sacrifices. Please rise. Praise the Lord. Last year, one of our members, she told me that the company, they are downsizing, they are sacking everybody around, blah, 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 blah. And she has 2 months or so to leave, blah, blah. She's going. So what should she do? So I asked her, I said, are you in covenant with the Lord? She said, yeah. I said, you did your first fruit. I said, they can sack everybody, including the CEO sacking himself. If they don't close down the company, you'll be on ground. She just... Everyone is gone. He got a job now. Last week he came, he said, Pastor, pray for me. I got a new job to go. I said, I told you. Is the company closed up? He said, no. I said, okay, I'll pray for you. Week now, they called her, they gave her a better offer. The one they sack people. This week now, they gave her a better offer. I said, I told you, you're going nowhere. It's like, we have gone so far away from the Lord that we lack the activity with the Holy Ghost. It's like everybody's doing try and error. It's not try and error, sister. Your fine self is not going to deliver you. You need an active covenant practice as a child of God, with the Holy Ghost, driven by faith. They say everywhere is dry. Where? Which place? Which place? When we're building the drain there, I said our budget is $300,000. So people say, hey, I got a bit when you see, I'm sorry, I know, I'm saying, I'm sorry, I'm being turned to more than it should be after you. Since this can it's God's project. So he what? He will sponsor it. He provide crowd. Do you know that when we're doing that project, we have people who are holding money now in their hands for us for the main building. And they have been giving me precious. Pastor, when are you starting the building? The money is there. You don't have faith. I see God's greatness manifested upon you in ways that will only be credited to the grace of God. Shout a better amen. Amen. Are you blessed you came to church this morning? Amen. Lift your hands. I want you to thank the Lord for the word you have heard and thank him. Say, Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you for edification through your word. Give you praise. I give you glory. I give you thanks. Glory be to your name. Thank you, Father. Shekola patale mahandas. Esokle porasondele bedebedes. Thank him. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you. Shakofatelema. Oh, come on now. Come on now. Lift your hands and bless him. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you. We give you praise. We give you glory. Shelevokofahadiza. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I want you to pray. Father, I pray for grace to build on Jesus, build with Jesus, build for Jesus this year. To build my life on you, build with you, and build for you. Can you pray? Open your mouth. Father, I thank you. I pray for that grace, the grace to be able to build on this solid rock, on Jesus Christ as my foundation. Build with you and build for you. Mola kosimbaro koshele vedema. Ile kwa vito seprela. In my weakness, your strength is perfected because of your grace. We pray for grace. Grace to run the race. Ele kovilo sivre kushalanda. Entelie kolosefe didiazo. Shekwale fedese. Lift your hand one more time. Say, Father, I pray for the grace to strengthen my faith to take bold steps of the covenant in you. Say, this year, use my hand to do mighty things, to build mighty things for you in your name. Open your mouth and pray. Kabada zelemanda ile kolive disho klebarada ele kofe dusende kula zere. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your power. Release grace upon us. Release grace upon us. Eko feli solata ente kwala shalapaya. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the grace. The Bible said, you shall decree a thing and it shall be established. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his lips. And I now want you to prophesy. Father, this year I operate in my grace zone. I operate in my grace zone. Every mountain shall become a valley. In the mighty name of Jesus, every giant has already fallen before me. I decree in the name of Jesus, the Egyptians that I saw before, I shall see them no more. No sickness, no disappointment, no delay. I walk in favor. The lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have goodly inheritance. Pray, Kalazavadaya. I'm a city set on a hill. Ah, my life cannot be dimmed. Koda dia soya. This week I will see the glory of God. This year I will see the manifestation of the power of God in my life. Oh God, lekoperia sonda. I release the power of God into systems. I release the power of God into offices and offices by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherever I go, I shall receive advantage. Can you prophesy into your life? I receive advantage in the work of my hands. I receive advantage on the field. My sheep will rise when others are falling. Mine will rise. In Egypt, I will still prosper. Daniel and his friends, they were 10 times better. My God, I pray that the latter glory is already upon my life. My glory shall not cease. It will not fail. I will not lose my youthful abilities and opportunities in the mighty name of Jesus. Can you pray and prophesy? Let your light shine upon me and cause me to shine everywhere in the mighty name of Jesus. Porre sonne che parasa e pelle che periasore. Pray. Kata lekosha. In the name of Jesus, this year, by the grace of God, there will be resources in my hands. There will be resources in my hands to build transgenerational wealth. Generational and transgenerational wealth. In the name of Jesus, wealth that will go beyond my existence. O paresore koshe equala. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you. We bless you.
Be a part of our family on social media at the Keeper's House Chapel International. Visit us at the Testimony Arena, Jifamco Junction, Medina Estate. You can also follow Reverend Francis Albing on all social media platforms. God bless you.